four-letter words to teach your children. Oftentimes, when we think about four-letter words, we think about words of the Bible. And it's sad to say that many times children learn these vulgar words from people that are in their family. But this morning, let's talk about words that are four-letter words that we should teach our children. And the person we want to talk about this morning is the word work. Long ago, in the Garden of Eden, when God placed Adam and Eve there, they were to tend and keep the garden. But later on, when they were expelled from the garden, they also, as they were put out, they still had to work. And God said that in the sweat of their face, that they should eat their bread. And I think today that we can understand that, because many times as we work and we sweat, we realize that it gets pretty strenuous on us. And it is many times hard work that we do. But do we teach our children to work? Years ago on the farm, when children were born, they were part of the workforce at a certain age, even at a very young age. They had to hoe cotton, they had to pick cotton, they had to pull corn, they had to do things around the house. I remember hearing a lady talk about that even as a young child, as a young girl, that she could not reach the top of the counter. And she had a good stool to stand on so she could cook and wash dishes and work in the kitchen. And so then people taught their children to work. But do you teach your child to work? What are some of the chores that your child has to do around the house? You say, well, they work by paying money. Should it be that way? Were you paying money to work when you were small, when you were coming up? Do we teach our children to work? The Bible has a lot to say about work. In fact, we might read in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 12 where it says that we would with quietness work and eat our own bread. We must with quietness work and eat our own bread. God's not to offer the welfare system today where healthy, lazy people live off others. I don't believe we believe that we should be that way. I don't believe that we feel like if I'm able to work, then I should work, shouldn't I? That I shouldn't live off society. What are we teaching our children about this? You know, you probably heard it said, and I heard it said, I think, as far back as I can remember, and I think the first one I heard it from was from my mother, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. She believed in work. And she believed in finding work for me to do. And you probably can relate to that too, some of you, because your mom and your dad did the same thing for you. I ask you a question, was it good or bad for you? You think it helped you? You think it hurt you? Being taught to work. Even at an early age, you were taught to work. And I believe it's something that's missing in our society today. We must teach our children the importance of work and impress on the dignity of honest labor. It's important today. Then we do that. The ancient Hebrews believed if you didn't teach a child a trade, you taught them a child to be a thief. But what trade does our child learn from us? Does our child really see their part in the family? And part of that being in the family is having to do their chores and having to do a job. Work. The next one we need to teach our child to do is to give. You know, many times we wonder, what's in it for me? What am I going to get from this? But, and we give our children a lot of things out of self, but how many times do we teach our children that they should give? You know, as we think about our life in the Christian work today, we must realize that one of the most important things is that we must know that we are servants, that we are ministers, that we are to do things for other people, because that is the only thing that will last. What? The only thing that will last is what you do for others. You might recall reading in Matthew 25. It's described as a judgment bar. And he says, I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was sick, and you clothed me. I was sick in prison, and you visited me. And all these things he talks about there is what people did for others. Is they gave of what they had to other people. But do you teach your children to give? Do you feel like there's some things that in this life that they shouldn't give? What is it they shouldn't give? They should give of their time. They should give of their power. They should give of their money. Our children today have so many toys given to them by their parents or grandparents or whoever that they need to share with other people that don't have these things. Do we teach our children to be selfish? To only think about what they want or what they need or what they enjoy? Giving is such an important part of our Christian life. And it needs to be taught to our children at an early age to learn to be givers and not to be takers. Your children need to see the generosity also in you. They know when the plate is passed around, I'm not sure they know the exact amount, but they probably know about what mom and daddy give. And they probably also know that it is a sacrifice. Even if it's passed around, I can pick on $10 there. Is that really a sacrifice? Am I really giving? Is I being prospered? Am I really doing that? What am I teaching my kids to do when I do that? When I feel like the other things in my life are so important. When my time for other things is always seems to be needful, but I don't give up my time to the Lord. I don't give up my money to the Lord. What are we teaching our children? Are we really givers? Or do we just try to feather our nest and see what we want? And teach our children the same thing. Yes, that's a four-letter word. And our children need to learn that word. The next word our children need to learn. Now these are in no particular order. Is the word love. You know what we think about love? We often think about some kind of emotional love or passionate love that we may feel for somebody, but that's not exactly what we're talking about here. The Bible says and commands us to love. Now, let me give you an example. The test if you love somebody. Think of somebody that you particularly don't really enjoy being around. And if something good happens to that person, how do you feel? You feel like you've been cheated? You don't feel good about them having something good happen to them because you really don't like them? Well, you take a share you don't love that person. See, sometimes when things like that happen, we feel like that their fortune is our misfortune because we simply don't like them. And we certainly don't love them. Do you teach your children to love? Sincerely love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about love. It talks about charity. He says, now by the faith hope and charity, the grace of these is charity. The grace of these is charity. The Bible also says, have fervent charity among yourselves. And fervent means that it's strong, that it's ongoing, that we do love, that we do care about others. We care about the needs of others. We care about their problems. We care about their what they're going through in their life. And of course, when we love, what do? We give. And what else do we do when we love? We'll work, won't we? Simply because we love. Love means so much in a marriage. The Bible even talks about it in Ephesians 5th chapter. About husbands, love your wives. Do you love your wife? Can you actually say that you love your wife? Husbands, love your wife. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Ephesians 5 and 27 and 28. Again, we read in 1 Corinthians 7. As the Bible talks about the marriage, it says, let the husband bring unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Now, what is due benevolence? It means that marriage, in your marriage, you have a debt to pay, and that is love. It is due your mate. It is due your husband. It is due your wife. And we may live a long time down here and not realize that love can be learned. And you're not going to learn it by criticizing your wife or your husband or your kids or your parents, whoever. But you can learn it by seeing the good things about them. Give people credit sometimes. And this often happens in a marriage where people complain about what they don't have and they don't see the good things they do have. How many of you can really see the good in your mate? That you really look at your husband or your wife and you see the good things they do. You don't try to nitpick the little things, the bad things that they don't do, but you see the good things. This is love. This is what the Bible calls forbearing, which means to overlook. That showing love. Do you really feel like from the bottom of your heart today that you are teaching your children to love? They see it in you, with your husband or with your wife. They see it in the way that you talk to them, how you respond to them. You say, well, I come home at night, I'm tired, I'm worn out. So many times we are selfish, aren't we? And we don't show our love like we should. You need to get the edge out of your voice. That's right. You wouldn't talk to your dog sometimes like you talk to your children. Isn't it sad? How people that mean so much to us in times, we don't treat them that way. And then later on when they're gone and we can't see them or talk to them anymore because they're not here in the world. We're sad about it. Because we didn't show our love like we should. Every child needs to learn how to love. There's no Christianity, my friends, without love. It's not going to be. Our children must learn to love their fellow Christians. You know, John 13 and 34. John says there, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. A commandment. It's not optional. It's not if we want to. It's not if they treat us right. The Bible doesn't teach that, does it? He said, if you love those that love you, what thanks have you? You know, it's easy to love somebody that shows their love to you, isn't it? But the real test comes
to love somebody that may not be lovable to you. Teach your children to love. Teach your children to love God. In Matthew 22 and 37, I'd like you to turn with prayers and read these words. Matthew 22 and 37. Greet and say unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, this is the great commandment. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. To love God with all your heart, and your soul, and your mind. I'm asking you, brethren, this morning, sisters this morning, do you teach your children to love God? When is the last time that you set your child down and told your child what God has done and is doing for them? And what a wonderful father he is. When is the last time? Or have you ever done that in all your life? Do they see in your life that you love God? If someone asked your child, does your parents love God? What would their answer be? You know, a little boy said one time that he knew his daddy loved him. And they asked him, how do you know your daddy loves you, boy, son? He said, because he spends time with me. See, that's how we show love, isn't it? Love goes the second mile. Love spends time. Love has time. Yes, my friends, our children need to learn to love. Number four. A four-letter word, teach your child to pray. You know, we go to church and we hear a prayer. We go to some people's homes and you hear a prayer. But is it a meaningful prayer? Have you ever said a prayer before meal and started eating and maybe got halfway through the meal and all of a sudden you stop and you think, did we even say a prayer? You ever done that? What does that say to you? What do you say to yourself? That you really didn't think much about it. It's just kind of a form prayer, wasn't it? You've always just kind of said it and you really didn't think anything about it, so you just said it, but you're really not praying. You're just mouthing words, aren't you? The Bible says pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Let your life be filled with prayer. Not just when you're in trouble, not when you're sick, not just when you're sick. Say, well, preacher, I don't pray like I should. I don't pray like I should. Too sleep in the morning, too busy in the daytime, too tired at night. You're going to be dead before you start learning how to pray, aren't you? And your kids are not going to know how to pray either because they don't hear you pray. They don't see you pray. Do you get on your knees and pray? Something wrong with that? I've been married for over 47 years. I see her do that. I saw my mother do that. Why shouldn't you get on your knees and pray to God? Why shouldn't we pray? Why shouldn't we bow down before our Father and pray? Oh, things we should. We should be very careful when we do. And we should be very attentive when we pray. And think about what we're saying. Think about who we're talking to. He says this is a very serious and a very sober thing about our life. The very time that we talk to God. Talk to God. That's right. Talk to the Father, which is in heaven.
tell him and ask him and talk to him as one that loves us and cares for us and knows us. Train your child to make his request be made known unto God, as the Bible teaches. Train him to enjoy the peace of God that passes understanding, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. To have that peace in life that only comes through prayer to God and being close to God. Teach your children to obey. Obey. Do your children obey you? Do they obey you? You know, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And you may know more about English, math, algebra, but you don't know more about life than your parents. They love you. They care for you. They have your best interest at heart. And when they tell you things, it's not for you to disobey them. It's not for you to go in and do your own way, do your own thing and go your own way. It's to obey what they said to you. In fact, the Bible says, obey your parents that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. Did you know that? That it may be well with thee. How many times, if children had obeyed their parents, had things been well with them when it was not well with them? And many times death comes because of that. The use of alcohol, the use of other drugs, the use of tobacco products. And all these things come because many times children did not obey their parents. What about obeying the Lord? Sure. Did you teach your child to obey the Lord? Did you teach your child that this is His word, this is His spoken word, written word that we have to obey for their life? It is to be obeyed. It is to be followed. You can't change it. You can't improve upon it in any shape or form. It is God's word. His inspired word. Given to us today. We have lots of Bibles in our homes. But how many times do we read them? And how many times do we obey them? How many times do we just do what we feel like is best ourselves? And we don't obey the Lord. And we don't teach our children to obey. Another four letter word to teach your children is Lord. What does that name mean to you? What does that name mean to them? Lord. How many times is His name taken in vain? The Lord's name. When you use the word gosh, you get cursed. That's right. Great day, talking about judgment day. Golly, you just cursed. Ye, that's short for Jesus. You just cursed. I think we can understand more what the Bible what it says about let your yea be yea and your nays be nay, don't you? Don't add to your words. Just say what needs to be said. Oh, our Lord's name, what a blessed name, what a wonderful name. And our children need to know that. They need to realize it. Unless they confess the Lord, they shall be lost. In Romans 10 and 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised from the dead, I shall be saved. That is a part of our salvation. That we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus.
we make that not just one time in our life, when it's before we're baptized. We make it over and over again. With our life, with our words, with our actions, with our time, with our talent, we confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Yes, that is the word we need to teach our children. What's another word we need to teach our children? Another four-letter word. What about this one? Truth. True in a lot of things. True in what they say. If you teach your child to always tell the truth, always tell the truth. No matter the consequences, don't worry about that. You tell it like it is. The book of Revelation just talked about the judgment. Those that shall be lost. You might remember what is a class of people that it says. It talks about those people that are not saved there. He says the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, which is the corrupt, depraved person. Murderers, whoremongers, and sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There's no such thing. So I think it's a white lie or a black lie. He says all liars. Do you teach your children to tell the truth? Do they see you tell the truth when you fill out your income tax? Do they? When you sign your name and you say, this is an accurate statement, and you put your name there. What about truth to their marriage vows? Do you teach your children that? Do you tell your children that when they marry, this is till death do they part? When they make that vow, when they promise for God and this company of people to be true to that person, forsaking, remember that what you're saying? All others. Forsaking all others and keep her only unto thee so long as I both shall live. You be true to that wife. You be true to that man. You remember your vows, what you said. It's a very serious thing, what you said. Try what you promised. You're no longer two. You're one. You're joined together. But do you teach your children that? When is the last time I had you ever touch your children? To be true to those vows. To be true to a promise. Like you tell somebody you're going to meet them in the morning at 6 o'clock. What do they see you do when you don't arrive at 6:15 or 6:30? What are they seeing in you? Are they ready to be true to their word? What they just promised and you said you would do? Does 6 o'clock mean 6:30? Or does it mean 6 o'clock? And when you're supposed to be on a job at 8 o'clock, and your kids see you leave the house at 8 o'clock, and knowing you're supposed to be at work at 8 o'clock. But yet you're getting paid starting at 8 o'clock. But they see that you don't get there when you should. What do you teach your children then? It doesn't matter what you're saying to them then. I'll get there when I can. Teach your children to fast. You know, we don't talk much about fasting, do we? I heard a preacher say one time, they're going to have a business meeting at church, this is over in Georgia. They had some real serious things they need to talk about at that business meeting. And he still asked all the clergymen, do not eat lunch. Do not eat supper. And at the service of the night, we're going to have a business meeting. I'm asking you to fast. tonight, you can eat. And this preacher told me, he says, you would not believe the attentiveness that we all had at that meeting. How attentive we were to what we were talking about, this important decision we were discussing in this business meeting. Because we prayed and we fasted before the meeting. In Acts 13, beginning of verse 1, now there were in the church, which was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, which was called Niger, and Lucius and Cyrene and Manin, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereupon I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Remember when Jesus fasted? How many days? How many days was he fasted? 40? That's true. 40 days. And then sometimes if we miss a meal, we feel like we're starving, don't we? 40 days Jesus fasted. When he was sent, before he was sent to Satan. Again, in Acts 14 and 23, we read this. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, they prayed with and fasted. They had prayed with fasting. They commended themselves then to the Lord on whom they believed. They prayed and they fasted. 1 Corinthians 7 and 5. Before I do not one the other, it's talking here about the marriage bond, except it be the consent for a time that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer. You come together again at 17, you not be incontent. It's talking about the marriage vow, that you give yourself to fasting and prayer. But have you ever in your whole marriage fasted and prayed? Should you just wait till somebody's very sick, nigh to death, and fast and pray then? I think not. Important decisions, fast and pray. Don't eat. What we're talking about, go without eating and pray. Teach your child that. What's another four-letter word to teach your child? How about this? Sing. How many of us sing? How many of us truly sing? And truly mean what we say? You ever thought about the song, A Beautiful Life? What does it say? Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Saying a lot, isn't it? It is saying a lot. But the Bible teaches us to sing. Ephesians 5 and 19 says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. See, we have an authorization here of singing with our mouth, with our vocal cords. We authorize that in the Bible. Colossians 3 and 16 says that the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We sing to the Lord with grace in our hearts. Romans 15 and 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I was confessed to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. 1 Corinthians 14 and 15.
I will sing with a spirit, and I will sing with an understanding also. Singing is beautiful. You love to sing? You ever have a thing at your house with your kids? Years ago, when our kids were small, many of you didn't know our oldest son, Brian. But Brian had a good bass voice. And we would go on trips, and we would sing. And so his mother, if she got in the car with us, you know, back in those days, you just might have 6 or 7 or 8 in the car. I remember one time we went on vacation. There was less than 5, 6, 7, 8 of us in a 2-door hardtop, 63 Chevrolet. We went on vacation. They had a tent and a camper we put with us on vacation. But anyway, when we go off like that, we would sing. And so his mother would request that we sing. And one of the main reasons she wanted to hear Brian sing bass. And he was like, he was 71, so he was like 12, 13 years old. And we enjoyed it. And we knew these old hymns, we sang them all the time, don't we? And we could sing them in our heart. We didn't need a book. We didn't need a radio. We didn't need a television in there with us to enjoy. We could sing and enjoy. We didn't have air conditioning. We could sing and enjoy singing. See, there's so many things in life that we can enjoy. And teach our children to enjoy goes with them all their life. And I think you see on the list up here today, those things to work. To give. To love. Teach your child to pray. Teach your child to obey. Teach your child the meaning of the word Lord and what God does for him and what God does for her and what God is doing for everybody. Teach your child to be true. Be true to their word. To tell the truth. Teach your child to fast. Is that so far out today that we can't do that anymore? I don't think so. Teach your child to sing. Oh, we're so blessed by God. There's no way that you and I could count our blessings today. There's no way. God has blessed us. So anyway, pass it on to your child. Pass it on to your grandchild. These things that you learned that was given to you by somebody in your life at some time. Teach your child these things also. This morning, as we stand and sing an invitational song, the time that we set aside. If you're not a member of the Lord's Church, you can come today to be baptized. Believing on Jesus Christ, confessing your subject of your belief in Him by saying, I believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son. Repenting of your sins, you can be baptized for the forgiveness of your past sins. If you are a member, you have not lived as you should, come back today, confess your faults. Ask for forgiveness and ask for prayer, and God will forgive you. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?